It's Wednesdays with Brendan on the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis.
I thought it was
right here.
Tuesdays with Riley.
It's Wednesday, though. There's nothing we can do about it. So it's Wednesdays with Brendan, and he is the alderman. He's the official alderman of the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis. We have official everythings, and it's an unpaid position, by the way. He needs to make that totally clear to the federal government. All right. A couple different things are happening here. Mayor Lightfoot, in her first month, right, on the gig, she met with Oprah. I thought that was very impressive in Montecito. I don't understand why that. I don't get what's going on. I know she had to go out to L.A. to talk to the cops out there.
Well, she was in Palm Springs for Barbara Boxer, hosted a bunch of Democrats as well. And so she was in the neighborhood, so
right.
to speak.
And but she was in L.A. talking to her comms people say that she was. Communications people say that she was in LA talking to LA police officials about what they do and their, you know, how, why their numbers are so much better than Chicago's numbers. It's a little different situation out in LA. There's, you have LA city cops and LA county cops all patrolling the same streets. It's a little different. But they, so she was there and then she shot up to Montecito and took a little snappity snap with the O and then, you know, jetted off. I don't know. I'd rather keep her here right now. We got a lot of stuff going on. What and you're the and now Alderman Riley. I mean, you're the president pro tem of the city council. Isn't that correct? So you're the guy that is in charge of all the things that are happening in the city council when she's not in charge of things happening in the city council.
Basically, when she's not on the podium, I'll be presiding over the city council meetings in her stead. But also, we'll be running the Legislative Reference Bureau, which drafts all the legislation for members of the city council. So I'll have a bunch of lawyers and drafters working for me, too. So, yeah, I'm a part of the new mayor's leadership team. I think she's off to a good start. We've had, you know, a bit of controversy during these first few days.
Something very weird happened yesterday, right? There was a settlement in a pretty tragic case that actually strikes home to this radio program. Mm-hmm. We happen to know the victim in this case, Kelsey Ibach, and it was a leaving a bar. She was being driven in somebody else's car. The guy drives over. An embankment, flips the car, falls one story essentially down onto to the riverbank. She's left paralyzed for the rest of her life. That guy, the driver, runs away from the case. And the city got sued. The bars got sued. The bars didn't give up that much money. The city got sued, though, based on not properly guardrailing or boundarying that area.
An allegedly faulty barricade at a dead-ended street.
Okay.
It was controversial because the facts of the case are infuriating. I mean, clearly, the person driving this car was way overserved, allegedly. And there were a couple of nightclubs named in the suit. And at the end of the day, we have a young woman who's paralyzed from the waist down for the rest of her life.
Yeah, tragic.
The driver gets away and is not able to be charged with a DUI because it took the police 3 days to find this person. But he left everyone in that car for dead.
Right.
I understand that he faced some criminal consequences for that. But as a result of all of this, these bars that essentially weaponized that vehicle by over-serving the driver, they got off the hook awfully easy compared to what the Chicago taxpayers are going to have to pay as a result of this tragedy. And had the bars been more responsible and stuck with their training, that person would either not have been allowed to drive, leave the venue, or they would have stopped serving the person a long time ago. And so, you know, we're seeing the taxpayers are going to be on the hook for $3.7 million. The committee voted to reject that settlement because they were so angry about the facts of the case. And we're angry that taxpayers were still going to have to pay this amount of money because it could have been so easily avoided. After that failed yesterday, people had the evening last night to chew on this and think it through. And I think people came to the conclusion that if this were to go to trial, we're exposed to the tune of about $26 million. And obviously, this young woman would be a very sympathetic victim. And what jury wouldn't want to award her a large sum? Given the fact she won't be able to walk again. And so I think when people figured that part out, we were able to pass the settlement approval today. But it was a really wacky 24 hours. That's never happened before in a finance committee meeting.
So this is the thing. I was reading the stories about this today, and my old colleague and the dean of the broadcast world of City Hall reporters, Bill Cameron, said that this was, you know, this was so unusual. It was a confusion, right? There seems to be a lack of leadership, right, in terms of maybe these committees. Are there too many new aldermen? What's going on there?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. Some people voted against that settlement because they were just so angry about how that all went down, right?
Isn't that already sort of baked in the cake, though? I mean, when you have these votes?
Yeah. It is baked in the cake. But then we also, you know, to your point, we have all brand new chairmen who are just getting used to that job. Mm-hmm. This particular committee has been run by one person for close to 50 years. And
he's not running that committee currently, is that correct?
No, he's
Alderman
sure
Burke.
No, yeah. Alderman Burke is no longer running that committee. Alderman Wagasback is new. And so, you know, that was his very first committee hearing. So obviously he's working his way through it. There were some other folks in committee who I think voted no just to create some drama for the new chairman of the Finance Committee, honestly.
Mm.
And I think that some...
Do they also have slick back hair?
I'll let you make your guesses, but they're probably pretty accurate.
Yeah.
But I think part of this was at least some of my colleagues were perhaps trying to embarrass the new chairman a bit. Out of, you know, sour grapes.
How do we need this? Let's just do the bidding of the people here, as opposed to everybody. I know.
It's a power.
God forbid. God frickin' forbid that anybody do the bidding of the people, as opposed to this weird intramural sport of, you know, I'm with this power fiefdom, and you're going to be with that power fiefdom, and that's how we're going to divvy up the city.
It's a huge waste of time and energy, to your point. We're there to do a job. And at the end of the day, our job is to protect the taxpayers in these proceedings. And some folks turned it into sport and made it a game. And that's unfortunate. And again, I'm here to assist my colleague, Alderman Wagasback, in the Finance Committee. But he did a fine job this morning. We got it all sorted out.
Good.
And
thank goodness we're on the right track.
How did Alderman Burke act during the second council meeting for our new mayor? Did he invoke any violations of Robert's Rules of Order today? Was he outspoken in any way?
No. Alderman Burke didn't raise any objections or concerns about any of the process today. And in fact, he did stand to praise the mayor's selection of her corporation counsel, the chief lawyer for the city.
Is he from Burke's law firm?
Kiss of death, isn't
No, he's not.
Okay. It's a fair question. It's a fair question. All right, go ahead. Yeah.
So he said some nice things for a minute there.
Okay.
But otherwise, we didn't hear much from him today.
All right. Yeah. I think, you know, at this point, you got to remember, he's working on a point system now. Right, and the feds come after you. They look at points. They look at departures, right? And they look at when you're being sentenced, they take all of your conduct into account. Mm-hmm. So right now, he should be on his best behavior because they can, you know, they could get a departure. What's the other one? There's departures, and then there's add-ons where they go, you know what? I didn't like the tie you wore on that Wednesday meeting. You're getting another 6 months. You know, so it's gonna be something. I think we're being told now that we should expect some news out of that fairly soon here in the next month or so.
Yeah.
I'm told that we will probably get some, whether this is destined for trial or if it's destined to, you know, some sort of an agreement between the parties.
Interesting.
The mayor's also moving forward with tightening some of the controls on aldermen. I know she's she talked about the resurfacing program was part of it, the ethics violations. She's really trying to institute some changes.
She is. There are actually two similar issues. The inspector general sent out a report today that suggests taking arterial resurfacing out of the hands of aldermen. Mayor Lightfoot has not accepted that recommendation from the inspector general. Today, after city council, she had a press conference where she explained she thinks that in that regard, aldermen should have a say because they know their wards on a granular level. But her ethics package would do some pretty dramatic things, and I think good things. Limiting outside employment so that aldermen don't have inherent conflicts of interest or trying to profit from their public position. That sounds pretty good to me. She's talking about, over the next several months, developing a protocol for zoning. We talked about that the last time I was on with you guys. There will still be a lot of automatic authority related to zoning, but there are going to be some systemic changes, and I think it's going to we're going to see more input from aldermen outside of the ward where the project is at zoning committee and a more public debate and vetting of this before these things are approved, just because the local alderman says to. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see some incremental reform and change. And I think there's a lot of room for that. Understatement of the year.
Go ahead.
You okay, Ro?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Okay. I'm trying to be diplomatic, though. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what you did. Yeah.
But there's a lot of room for that. And so it's a top priority. And frankly, in the mayor's race, just the last couple months, that's a mandate. People want City Hall cleaned up, and I think they picked a good leader to do it.
All right. Well, it's a tough job. Mm-hmm. It's a very tough job. And I know that we got trouble in this city in a lot of different places. Obviously, the crime one still, you know, gets all the national headlines, as well it should. I mean, 11 people shot last night.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. In one night.
Unacceptable.
In this town.
Right.
Right? Kabul is more pacified than Chicago is. And it doesn't make any sense.
You know, summer months are my least favorite months. It's the best weather in Chicago. Yeah, everyone wants to be outside and be here. You know, I don't enjoy the summer because we're reacting every day to what happened the night before.
Right.
And I know that that's a priority for the mayor as well.
All right.
Sure is.
All right, Alderman. It was nice of you to stop by. I know you're very busy. I know you're. I think you're throwing out the first pitch at the Hamilton show tonight. So we're going to let you go out and do that. Or the shot or whatever. What do they do there?
You're not throwing away my shot.
Yeah, that's what...
I'm young, scrappy, and hungry. Yeah. Not throwing away my shot. You didn't bring us any grapefruits, did you, by any chance? Because
right,
Rose says back in the day, that's
Let me ask you a question. Now, you know, the Alderman. Now he it's very interesting. He's really
a worldly man.
He feels like a born and bred Chicagoan, but he grew up on the East Coast, right? Your childhood was on the East Coast.
Yes, sir.
Now, you had grandparents, didn't you?
Uh-huh.
Did your grandparents go down to Florida?
Yeah.
Sure. When they came back from Florida, did they bring bags of grapefruit with them?
No.
No one said.
They didn't love me that much, I guess.
Well, did you know that? That was a thing?
I didn't even know that was a thing.
That's a thing. And they would get on the airplane. It was one of those, you know, like a 727. They didn't have overheads. They just had a shelf over the seats. So if there was turbulence, you got hit in the head with the grapefruits. They were like bouncing off the shelf.
That's why they stopped doing it.
Yeah. But that was it. That was a thing.
Wow, right.
Am I making this up?
No, I thought you were, but 815 says absolutely. You would see them on the luggage carousel when the airlines became stricter.
Wow.
And people fighting over the grapefruits were going around in a luggage carousel.
I really missed out.
Yeah.
I never got them either.
Yeah,
I never knew that was a thing.
Yeah. That was what it was. All right. Thank you, Alderman.
Thanks, guys.
Nice to meet you. All right. Let's find out now what's happening in the newsroom. Jen DeSalvo.